Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I am your host, Justin Worsham. Oh my gosh, I am failing as a host. Normally, here's what I say, Miss Jamie, is I say with me today is Jamie. I don't know your last name.
It's Moniz.
Moniz. Oh, that's right. It is in my phone. I'm an idiot.
Yeah,
I'm an idiot.
No.
So Jamie is a parental friend, I guess, is the best way to describe our relationship.
Yeah, we met in the schoolyard.
Yes, yes. That's back in the day, like a sandlot. also fellow comedian, writer. Do you have a background in improv or sketch or?
Yes, improv and sketch.
Where did all that start? Let's walk down that for a little bit.
Okay, so I started at this improv house called The Hot House.
Mm-hmm.
And it was...
Is that here in L.A.? Always in L.A.?
It's gone now. It was like magic in a bottle.
But you have always been in L.A. while you've been doing this.
Yeah, I moved here from Phoenix and started acting. And then I found an improv group and, well, house, really. And we just became this big family. And I didn't...
That's the best, yeah.
When I first started improvising, I was so unbelievably timid and shy. And I would, during shows, I would just pretend to be a tree a lot of times. So I didn't have to talk.
And very edgy funny, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
A lot of people go, what she's doing is very meta.
This one of my improv friends called me Harpo Marx because I never talked. And I would.
That's so funny.
Yeah. But then, you know, eventually the tree would say something, you know, like go that way or whatever, you know. And then I became a sign. And then eventually I started talking and I developed this love for writing. Based on my improv experience. You know, we did a lot of shows, but one of them that I loved so much was called Mobius American Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And we would study playwright styles like Molière, Shakespeare, Neil Simon, David Mamet, who else? Oh, gosh. Tennessee Williams. Yes, yes. Thank you. And so we would study these playwright styles. And then we would perform a show in that style, and we would start with the last scene, and then the lights would go out, and we would start at the beginning and work our way back to that last scene.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in the style of, say, Tennessee Williams.
That's rough to do, too.
It was great for me because I got an education in how to write, you know, and how to perform. So it was really fantastic. And then from that, I did a sketch group on YouTube. It was a YouTube channel called Cackle Pops.
That's awesome.
And I wrote some sketches. The most famous, not really famous, but the best one was this one called The Awkward Truth, where it was just like embarrassing secrets and unfortunate news revealed happily with song by this group called The Awkward Truth. And so we would sing about gambling addictions and baby shower, you know, everybody having secrets and that would end in fist fights.
So like approaching a dark or uncomfortable subject with the smile of a musical theater number.
Exactly. Okay. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So we did that and that was really fun. And then I wrote a play. Gosh, I did web series based on theater styles as well called Stalker Chronicles.
Isn't it a great time to be a performer now? Because while not only is there, you know, obviously more availability to work with, you know, you've got the multiple channels and then now you've got this new realm of Netflix and Amazon creating content for people and really driving the industry financially now, which I think is just mind blowing. I mean, I know people in production who have talked about how there used to be a cycle, like you used to shut down in the winter and summer months. But now because of Netflix and Amazon just deciding, well, we're going to shoot whenever the hell we want and we've got a ton of coin. Everybody's always busy.
Yeah.
And what I also like about it from hearing, you know, content creators that get to work with these people is that they've kind of come at it with this getting rid of the network suit in quotes that, you know, from the stand up comedy world, you build your career to a certain point where you get a sitcom and then you come in with this idea of what you want to do because you've built your career to a Seinfeld even said it or no, Chris Rock said it when they were giving Seinfeld the Comedians Award on HBO a long time ago. And I remember as an up and coming comedian, I was like, I go, yeah, that's interesting. Is that he said, you know, it's funny that you build your career to a point where a network will come to you and say, we want to build a show around your idea. Mm-hmm. And then you say, well, here's my idea for a show because I am a funny enough person to have you come and ask me to put a show on your network. And then you start making the show and then they come and tell you what you're doing wrong and water down and muddy down, like muddy up the thing that actually got you there for them to ask you to do the show.
Right.
And Chris Rock says, and the part of the reason why they do it is that if they don't do that, then there is no purpose for the quote unquote executive producer or network executive. They don't have a worker bee spot or a job in the ant farm to be able to do something. But from what I understand is that Netflix and Amazon, they just kind of come in like, here's the thing. We sell crap on the internet and we just put movies on the internet. So you do what you do and we're just going to do what we do and everything's fine. Here's a check. And go spend less than that check, and absolutely, everybody's fine. And yeah, it seems to be working.
Yeah, I mean, we have great shows like Orange is the New Black.
Yes.
Transparent.
Right.
Oh, I love Transparent.
And then also, and also what's coming out of that, which got me down this, is that if you're somebody who's trying to make a name for yourself, you can not only just make a name for yourself using things like YouTube and web series and stuff like that, but you can also monetize this stuff. It's becoming easier and easier. I was just talking to Brian Suits, who's a host at KFI, and he was talking about, like, literally, I saw an article about a 6-year-old kid who does toy review videos, and last year he made $11 million.
Isn't that crazy?
Just unboxing toys and talking about them. $11 million.
Yeah.
Because he gets, and here's the thing, it's not people throwing money at him, it's just, you know, Buick or whoever is throwing a pre-roll ad to his YouTube video that he's got on there for 2-3 minutes at a time, and
yeah,
boom.
We made a few dollars on our YouTube channel, our most current one. Yeah.
It's amazing. And it's interesting, too, that especially this opening toy phenomenon. Because I thought, well, that's just weird. And I thought it was just like a familiar thing. But now my kids, we got the Amazon Fire and they discovered the Alexa thing where they just hold the button and they ask for things.
Yeah.
What a great world they get to grow up in. They just ask for things and they just watch a grown ass man talking about Star Wars Legos figures that he's collecting and why he loves them, and they're just infatuated with it. Like,
isn't that incredible?
It's like it's so funny to me to watch it, and I'm aware of it, but maybe I should be monitoring more. I don't know, but it's just weird to me that there's just some guy in his 40s who's talking to my kid, and my kid is like, this guy's cool.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Am I weird? Am I overthinking it?
I am fascinated with the unboxing.
Yes.
Thing. I don't get it. I'll be honest.
Right.
I'm too busy. Ain't nobody got time for that. That's how I feel.
Is this the beginning of us being too old? Is that what's happening?
Maybe. I think so. I think it's begun. Yeah.
They watch guys talk about playing video games. That's the other thing, is they'll watch a guy playing Lego Star Wars, the video game. And then the other day, we were up for Thanksgiving. We were up at my dad's house, and my younger son was narrating himself playing the video game. And my wife walked by, and he says, Mom, get your camera. Record me doing this. And so now he's like kind of practicing, you know, making his own video game show where he just talks about the things that he's doing.
Oh man, my daughter did a makeup tutorial. It's so great. And I haven't edited it together yet. It's like 18 minutes, but she was 4 when she did it. And I let her have free reign with the makeup, and I'm just videoing her, and she's in like a Cinderella dress.
Of course.
And she called it her makeup tutoria, and it's so brilliant. There's a point where she takes the eyeliner, which I never let her use, and she was so stoked that she got to use it, and she's putting it on herself, and you see this light bulb go off in her head, and she goes, I'm going to draw a house right here. And she draws a house on her forehead with the eyeliner. I have a gorgeous picture of her just smiling pretty with just black eyeliner house on her head and eyeliner under here, like bright blue on her eyes. But she's saying it all exactly as she heard it on YouTube.
Yeah.
You just want to slightly, and she's just rubbing it. Yeah, just not slightly at all. And it was so precious.
Comedically, it's a genius,
it's
too.
So like good. It's old. I think she would be on Ellen if I were to put that out in the world.
Yes.
But I don't know if I should.
Right, that's the other part of it. The other part of it is that, you know, now in today's world, it used to be, like when we were kids, if a grandparent or somebody in a grocery store said to our parents, you know, oh, they're so adorable, you should, you know, put them on TV or something or get them an agent. Well, Now you don't even have to do that, right? You could just throw them on the internet. Mm-hmm. But then now it's like, well, do we do it? Like, what comes with that?
That's it's tricky territory.
I'm not a doom and gloom guy. I'm not saying it's a scary thing or even it's just a bad thing. I think it's just a thing that we're learning to navigate, I guess, is
for sure
the best way I would put it. But anyway, let's get to know you better, Jamie. You have how many kids? We know you have a daughter now.
Yes, I have a daughter who is almost 7 and a son, Logan, who's 5.
5. So he'll be starting the school next year. You'll be in full-blown public school mode with all the kids.
Yes, finally one school, because he's in preschool right now 5 days a week. And so I have to run from one school to the other. And, you know, I'm on the parent committee at the preschool. And then I, you know, try to participate as much as I can in activities at the other school. And I just feel ripped in a million different directions right now.
And I know this, but the listeners don't know this, but you're divorced. So you are in the quote unquote single mom.
Yes.
And you know what? This is just hitting me now. I've had single dads on the show before, but is that when you are the single parent, like, do you wear that like a badge of honor? Are you tired of people like identifying you as that in any way, shape or form? Or does it just not matter?
It really doesn't matter. At first, I was a little freaked out. It's been 3 years. So my daughter started preschool shortly after we split. And all of the other parents were together at the preschool. Mm. There were no other divorced parents. And so I would tell them, you know, they would find out usually. They would call him my husband still. And I just a lot of times wouldn't even bother to correct them because I, you know, that's a conversation then you have to have. And so, but every once in a while they would find out and be like, I'm so sorry. And I would see their eyes kind of wander down to check for like tentacles coming out of my jacket, you know, like, you're so weird. Can I touch you? Like, this weird phenomenon of being a single parent, you know?
Which is, it's funny because in today's world, you wouldn't think it is weird, right?
It depends on community, I think.
Really?
In today's world, absolutely. But, you know, seeing a single parent on TV or wherever versus one right in front of your face who's a human being who's got her own problems and just trying to make it, you know, is
it's like meeting Mickey Mouse and being a kid. It's
right. Mickey Mouse with a drinking problem or maybe just fresh off a divorce from Minnie. You know, you're like, oh, dang, Mickey. Dang, you got problems.
You're fine, Mickey. You look great.
Yeah, you look so great.
God, come on, Mickey.
You're doing. Wow, Mickey. You're so brave.
So out of curiosity, and I mean this, and so I'm going to apologize in advance, because here's the thing. All of a sudden, I feel like I'm handling it with kitty gloves, which I don't think is you.
Not necessary.
That's not who you are, but it is. It's because it's not a sensitive subject, so I don't know what's going on in my head. But my point is that is it as hard as everybody makes it out to be?
I think it's very individual. I think I have a friend who just went through the most joyful divorce.
Is that sarcasm?
No, I swear to you. Which, you know, actually, that's not totally true. The divorce was very smooth compared to my own. And she's still like rebuilding her life and learning how to be like discovering who she is, really. And so she has moments where she just cries on and off all day. But the divorce itself wasn't that contentious. It, you know, they are able to be friends. And I am just like, wow, tell me about that, you know?
That, I feel like that would also come with its own challenges, because if it is contentious, obviously, it's like Harry and the Hendersons. You know, when you punch the Sasquatch in the face to get him to go back into the woods, that's a clean break. You got to, you know, you got to sever it.
Truth.
Whereas if it is amicable, it's almost like a tiny wound, while not being bad or unhealthy per se, but it's always got to be there. It's always being reopened or agitated and just a stress. Do you think I'm right on that or no?
I don't know, because I think if a divorce is contentious, then you have to not only deal with the wounds from the divorce, but the trauma from the breakup as well, you know? So I think it's hard for everyone. I think divorce is just hard for everyone. Also, my friend didn't have kids, and we do. So now we are learning about the joys of co-parenting, which is...
Yes, I hear a lot of... That's the people that write into the show that are single parents, that's what they're curious about. It seems to be something, and I wish I could sympathize with it. And it's even harder for me to imagine empathizing. I mean, I can empathize with the idea that I have fights with my wife about, you know, what I think we should be doing with the kids and what she thinks, you know what I mean? But it's entirely different because... In this situation, I feel like there is a predetermined expectation that we will have a compromise. But if you are split up, then there is no expectation of a compromise.
Correct.
It is it is defined by the battle to a certain extent. Am I close at all?
Yeah, I think so. And I think I had to really let go of, you know, how they eat and what, you know, if they're staying up too late or whatever when they're not in my care, you know, it's a whole lot of none your business.
Yeah.
Just like, I got to trust now and know that you hope, you know, really believe that you love them and care about their needs as much as I do. And you're going to parent in your own way. And as long as they're relatively clean and healthy and happy, then we're killing it. You know, we're doing a great job. And, you know, I found a lot of funny moments in this co-parenting journey. I think even one time at the schoolyard, there was like, it was just like awkwardness. And you walked up and I was like, hey, co-parenting. You
know? Yes, yeah.
But I remember this one time at the preschool, there was a talent show that the kids were doing and the parents could perform with the kids. And I had asked my children's dad if he wanted to do a show together, like a performance together with
like the whole family.
Kids. Yeah, the whole family. And he's like, I really want to do my own thing with them. And I was like, okay, I'll do my own thing and you'll do your own thing. And so then during rehearsal, it was the lollipop song.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, so at rehearsal, he said, there's going to be a point where I just invite all the kids up on stage, anybody who wants to come up on stage. And I just started laughing because he didn't want to perform with me. So I just picture, because I'm sure you do this too. You can relate. Yeah. You picture things in comedy.
Yes. So there will be moments where time freezes.
Yeah.
And then I'm instantly in a web series-esque sketch
yes.
that plays out after that moment.
That's exactly what happened. So I just pictured the show, cut to the show. And he's like, everybody up on stage except for you, Jamie. You sit down. Actually, turn around. You can't look.
Don't see
this. Can you just step outside for a minute? Everybody else, though, on stage. Pay no mind.
It is a really funny bit, though, to have everybody on stage doing, but performing, to me, it's performing just you.
Right.
Just
and
you.
I'm like, still, you know, applauding my kids. Great job, sweetie.
Taking pictures.
You know, yeah.
Holding up an iPad
yeah.
to videotape it.
And slightly crying, yeah. like, it's fine. I'm good. Yeah.
Not and all, sitting off center, like just one seat in from the aisle, like almost yeah. to the back.
All the way in the back, yeah. Yeah. And that's not what happened. He did invite me on stage
right.
well. So, but, and then we got two performances. Oh, I think that's my alarm to tell me to pick up kids. Hold on.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Oh, my gosh. Are we already there? Are we good?
It's preschool.
Oh, preschool.
Preschool one. Oh, that might happen again. Sorry.
No, that's all right. So what time do you have to be done by?
Oh, you know, today is their dad's day.
So. Oh, okay. But you have to set the daily alarm.
Yeah, because it doesn't understand co-parenting 2-3 schedules. The iPhone's not that advanced yet.
Well, we'll get there. Maybe. I wouldn't get cocky with whatever is number is after X.
I know,
but maybe I would go 15. Maybe at 15 there would be a thing where it's like, I've got a 60-40 joint custody situation.
Right. The next iPhone's going to be the millennial, right after Generation X, right?
Yeah.
The millennial phone that just doesn't care about my problems. It's like...
The case is a beanie.
It can't be bothered. It's got a beard.
Yeah.
It's pissed off at me all the time. I can't understand why.
You ask it the weather and it says, shouldn't you be more concerned about this net neutrality issue?
Like, right. Well, I know you can. I know you're concerned about the weather in Syria as well. Right. I know you haven't donated this year to UNICEF.
Oh, that's good times.
Yeah.
Good times. So co-parenting, good times and fun.
So fun.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other part of it is, oh, this just also hit me too. Well, let's talk about this first. The other thing I thought was interesting is that not only you being a comedian and a mom, right? That's mm-hmm. always because I never noticed it, honestly, until I met you. And I know other parents who are comedians. But I've had people ask me to be on their podcast and talk about parenting as a comedian. And I don't think that they connect to me personally. I don't know how you feel in that. I don't see how me being a comedian changes who I am as a parent is what I guess is a better way of putting it.
Really?
Based on your face, I'm guessing that I am an abnormal person in that.
Freak. No, I'm kidding.
It's fine because.
No.
But here's the thing. Here's an example, I think, where I'm just not being good at self-assessment in that we are doing the Elf on the Shelf. I don't know if you partake.
Oh, no.
We've had this Elf on the Shelf
For, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay, because there is so much comedy to me in this.
True, that's true.
My friends was talking. I was on the road with a comic. This is 5-6 years ago, maybe even more. And this comic I was working with was a good friend, Heath. He was on the show, and he was like, "Oh, did you do the Elf on the Shelf?" I said, "It was when it was like first happening." I was like, I don't know what that is. And he's like, "Oh my God, it's so great." And he was showing me pictures of what his sister was doing. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, it's so funny. What a great way to create a memory of my kid, you know, kind of thing." And this this is funny because if we go back in time, now there's the new movement of like, "Oh God, the Elf on the Shelf." And everybody being like arrogant, showing off of all their amazingness and all that stuff. So this is all.
And
this,
the elf like with a Barbie on a stripper pole. Yes, I don't know if you've seen that one.
Yes, the inappropriate Instagram of Elf. Yeah, I get it. So what I did was I instantly bought it on Amazon from my app. I said, "Hey, we're having this shipped to the house. If you want to do it with the kids, I think this will be fun," right? My wife, being who my wife is, who I like to jokingly call, she is the dad in the relationship. She plays more sitcom stereotypical dad than I do. And it's not fun that way either. It's not the comedic fun you would think, because so she puts it up literally in my son's closet, like up on a top shelf. She just puts the box.
It's on Elf on a Shelf.
It is.
Right?
It is. And so the year goes by, and I said, it was kind of close to Christmas. So I said, "Hey, do we do the Elf?" She goes, "Oh, no, I don't want to bother." I was like, "All right." So then it just sits there. So again, it's got to be at least 6 or 7 years. And then it just came out this year is when my son goes, "Dad, we got to get an Elf on the Shelf," because they're doing an Elf on the Shelf, I guess, in his classroom as well. Mm-hmm. And he said, "I got to get an Elf on the Shelf." And Natalie, my wife, was like, "Well, we have the Elf on the Shelf." So she did the book with him, right? Day one, Elf did not move. Day one.
Yep.
Day two is little one. I guess they have this weird dark thing in it that if the kid touches it, it dies.
That's so awful.
Right?
Jeez.
And of course, my younger son, being who he is, he touched it. He was like, I go, "Why would you?" Because it was very important to the older kid, not important to the younger one.
I can just imagine this dramatic death scene like,
Well, I felt bad because I felt like I was crushing my younger son's curiosity, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because he was like, I go, "Son, why?" And there's a part of me that's annoyed because Jack, who he is as a person, is someone who is quasi indifferent to the world around him. He is not an insensitive child. He is not, I wouldn't say that he is mean spirited by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart.
He is. He's a very nice kid, and he is socially conscious. You know, there is that aspect to him, but he is not the quote unquote bundle of nerves that his father and his older brother are, in overly considerate of every, "I'm not affecting you, am I? Are we all okay? Is everyone okay?" I feel like when I got up this morning, I made noise that could affect two houses down. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't even have that. It's unless you tell him that you're bothering, or it's right in front of him, he doesn't care. So when he sees the Elf on the Shelf, and he just wants to know if it's real, right? So I go, "Why would you do that? Why would you touch it? You were specifically told not to touch it." And he just kind of honestly looked at me. He goes, I don't know. And I said, "Well, you got to know. You can't do something without knowing." He said, "Well, I wanted to see if it would say something." And I go, "What?" He goes, "I thought if I squeezed him," which is, it's a little bit of Lenny, right?
"I will love him and squeeze him."
If he would have just, he goes, "I wanted him to, if he would have squeezed." So it started very sweet.
So is your elf's name George? I knew it.
If he thought if I squeezed him, it was sweet, because he's like, "I wanted to see if he was real." It's like, "Oh," he goes, "so I squeezed him to see if he would say ow."
Oh my gosh.
Don't do it. And so first night, Elf didn't move. Second night, my wife, very bad at this. First Elf on the Shelf move. First Elf on the Shelf move, not only of this Christmas season, but ever. Elf is sitting in a bowl of Lucky Charms, having taken all of the marshmallows out of said bowl and put them into a little ramekin to set in his lap and hand in the ramekin. Like, full blown vignette.
Whoa.
And I said, "Hey, you may want to pace yourself."
Overachieving a bit. Wow.
Not over it, because that's also not my wife. My wife is a sprinter, not a marathon runner. You keep picking up what I'm putting down?
I do.
So it would have been like, I did it.
Right, done. Was, boom, mic drop.
Yeah. And so I thought it was funny because she was working last night. And then when she has her ritual, she takes a shower before she goes to bed. So when she was doing the shower, I go, "You know what? I'm going to make sure Elf moves before we go to hit the sack." So I do it. Mine is very simple. And I'm curious to see when my kids grow up, if they remember these and go, they could tell when dad did it or when mom did it, because yeah. I put it on top of the blinds because we have a red walls in our dining room. And I thought it'd be funny if it blended in. And I genuinely wanted them to go to the day not knowing where the hell this thing was, having no clue. Like, I just,
it moved out because you squeezed me. George is dead.
Oh, that was so hard, Jamie, if I can be honest with you, to sit there and look angry at my son, and it hit me that I'm like, he was just curious. Yeah. Why would you stop him from being curious, fucking asshole? All right, you know what? Let's do this. Let's take a quick break because we have lots to talk about. Jamie has what I honestly, this is no hyperbole at all, what I think is a brilliantly, if you love the humor, at least on this show, that I interject just extemporaneously, imagine when Jamie puts her comedic mind together and comes up with some hilarious, vulgar, vagina-centered jokes. It is good times. We'll talk more about that after we come back after this.
So what's up with Jake? Is he playing the skin harmonica yet?
No.
Hey, do you have any plans this weekend?
I was going to go see a movie, but they're only showing dick flicks this weekend. Thanks a lot, Michael Bay.
God, I know, right? Hey, bro, let's punch each other in the face and avoid our feelings.
Hey, yeah. Hey, let's go bang some models and blow stuff up with our dicks, huh?
So just the fun of hearing that, you have to go to youtube.com/ladybits and check out the Vigeniuses webisodes.
Yes.
It is a wonderful journey of juvenile humor, said with the I don't know. I feel like I'm explaining it wrong, but I just like that. It seems like when girls do 12-year-old boy humor. Is that a fair way to put it?
Well, actually, we're balancing it out because we believe if women ruled the world, there would be a lot more vagina jokes. We were really distraught at the fact that there were not a lot of jokey terms for, say, female masturbation.
Yes.
Like playing the banjo, which we put in there.
And, the skin harmonica.
The skin harmonica.
that is some good stuff.
We have skin flute. It's only fair.
Yes.
We just want equality. We want to be able to joke about our vaginas.
And like I was talking to you about off the air, is that the problem that I had with it is at first I was laughing, but then I got very introspective to think, because there's this whole Me Too thing going on, and I'm like, right. Am I part of the problem? Because I'm laughing at this, like, you know, because it does kind of hold up as a guy. It does kind of hold up a mirror to, you know, douchey frat guy, you know, behavior, which is not who I am. I'm more likely to hang out with a bunch of chicks than I am the dudes. But anyway, I loved it. I thought it was great. Father fucker was another great one.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of using that instead of motherfucker.
Oh, my God. So the moms at the preschool got wind of this web series. And just out of the blue, one of them, who I thought was really sweet, I didn't know her all that well, came up to me and she was like, "Father fucker!" Oh, my God, that's good. And I was like, okay, I'm finding my people.
It's funny. That's kind of the idea of this show, is that when I started doing it, I just started talking about my honest, like, complaints about parenting. And I think that there are a lot more people who are like us than we know, than we let on.
Yeah, because we put on the sweet face of, like, I'm a good parent.
Right.
I'm not an asshole. I'm not.
Which is kind of not fun.
It's not fun.
Right?
I would much rather people run up to me in the schoolyard and yell, "Father fucker."
Right?
Absolutely.
And I feel bad because, like even for you, where you're like, by the way, this is not appropriate for children in any way, shape, or the form.
Right.
And when I was telling you, I hit the link when you sent it to me, and I happened to be driving the car. It just popped up on my phone.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, no. Like, the kids are in the car.
Right. I've ruined your children. I'm so sorry.
No, but here's the thing. It's like, how, honestly, maybe it's because I have sons, but most of it, they would probably go over their head, in all honesty. But wouldn't that be part of helping the problem, is if everybody was like, that's just funny, I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, but this is where I start to deviate even past the path of, like, can't we all just be cool? Where I'm just like, so your kid hears a skin harmonica joke. Who cares if they know father fucker?
Yeah, right.
I like to watch my son do he was with my parents and he watched Jeff Dunham, one of the specials.
Oh, the puppet guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he likes to do Walter. He plays the old man and he likes to throw up his face and go, dumbass. And it's funny. It's cute.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So Vigeniuses, check that out. There's also, pronounce this again, Nodge's Corner?
Nodge's Corner, yes.
And what is this?
This is a big turn in the other direction, for sure.
You got to run the gambit. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah. There's humor for me. And then, you know, I create a lot of stories with my kids. They'll just say, tell me a story at night when we're in bed or in the bath. And I just started writing them down. And I was approached by this man who's creating an app. It's actually, it might be on the Amazon Echo. So kids can just say, Nadja, tell me a story. I think, we're still in beta, so I'm not sure if it's going to happen. But definitely it's going to be either an app or a website where it's audio stories for kids. So every day they'll get an audio story written by me, and the narration and voiceover is done by a friend of mine, Kelly. And we created characters and stories. One character is Imagination Imogene. She's a girl with a big imagination. And I started this story because it was going to be the first day of school. My kids had a little bit of anxiety about it. And so I just made up a story the night before and saying, on my first day of school, when I woke up, I felt something cold touching my nose. And I reached for my blanket and I couldn't find it. And when I opened my eyes, I realized I was floating up against the ceiling like a balloon. And I thought, how am I going to get down? I've got to go to school. And it became a whole story about her, helping herself to the cookies in the top part of the cupboard because she was up on the ceiling and getting dressed and all of that. So now this character, this is like a recurring character mm-hmm. now. And she tells all these stories about, the first time she was on roller skates and how they developed into rockets and blew her up into the sky and she had to learn how to fly on roller skates, because that's how kids sometimes see problems mm-hmm. is so much bigger than they are, So, so we've created these daily stories for kids and it's like podcasts for kids.
Yeah.
Really?
That's what I was thinking while you're,
audiobooks for kids.
And it's perfect because, maybe they don't have to manipulate a keyboard or anything like that. And it is this, Alexa, they could just ask for things, which
right.
I also saw another article running around where there were kids who were accidentally, you had the accidental orders, but they're trying to figure out a way because one of the things that they didn't see being, not the ordering of from Amazon, but just kids being able to access Alexa for anything, and interacting with it and almost becoming like friendly with it, like they see it as a friend too,
well,
which is really, really interesting.
It's like a child version of her, that movie.
Yeah, and yes, exactly. And I'm not Amish. I could see that there could be a bad side to that, but that doesn't mean it shouldn't exist. You know what I mean? That there's more examples of middle level than there are examples of people being River Phoenix. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Or Joaquin Phoenix. Bad choices. Bad choice.
Okay.
So not just Corner, but the website is up and you can have stories emailed to you right now. Is that right? Or is it everything is still being built?
It's still being built. It's in beta. So right now, if you go and you give your email address, they'll email you a link to your first story.
And okay.
Eventually when it takes off, I think it's going to launch next week. So when it launches, then every day you can go to the website or get an email with a link. I'm not sure how it's going to work yet, but and you should be able to play one new audio story for your kids.
So there'll be a link in the description of this episode, but it's Nadja's Corner, NadjasCorner. And you do a Google search, but you need to hit the second link. But if you just go to Nadja'sCorner.com, it'll be a little place right in the middle of it. You throw your email in there and you can help our friend Jamie here work out the kinks while they're in the beta phase of this. And yeah. Bonus, get a story. You
yes.
get a story that you can listen to with your kids and enjoy as wind down time at the end of the day or mm-hmm. just killing time before a nap or whatevs, yeah?
Yeah, it's a great answer to the problem of screen time, I think,
yeah.
because, so many times we'll put a video on YouTube for our kids just to be able to take care of something for a few minutes. And this way, I think it helps in two ways. One, it activates the child's imagination. They don't have images being thrown
right.
at them. They have
There's
to
holes
create.
They have to fill in.
Exactly. So I think it's a good exercise for them and, for their brains. And two, they say that there's, if a child is too young and watching screens, then, all that flashing and stuff can cause problems with their brain development and, whether or not they end up with ADHD or become a psychopath, whatever. But,
But don't worry about it.
Don't worry. It's fine. Show them the YouTube. I know I do. I'm like, watch this. Mommy needs alone time.
Yeah. That's funny. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about, because it is interesting to me, and I hope it's interesting to you, but one day I was there, was doing the drop off, right? And I ran into you and another mom friend of ours, and she was going to help take care of your son. So your younger son has like a ton of, is it just food allergies or is it just allergies in general?
It's allergies. It's mostly food, but there's like tree pollen and I think grass and stuff like that as well. But yeah.
And you, to the point where you have to go through a training of like how to use an EpiPen.
Yes.
Here's the practice EpiPen, you know, hit him in the thigh. And one of the things that at first I was like, oh, that's, you know, yeah. But the thing that was the most shocking to me was when you said, if you think he's having a reaction, call 911 first, then call me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Hit him with the EpiPen, then call 911, then call me. Like there's a, that sequence has to be kind of broken down to someone. And I was like, I was wondering when I was hearing this, I was like, has this ever happened to you? To, is that the point? Or is it part of your training that you receive from a doctor because it's happened to somebody else?
Yeah, it's never happened to us, knock on wood.
Right.
We're very diligent. But, you know, the older he gets and the more he's in, you know, public school, it's definitely more of a possibility. But he's been very controlled so far because he's so young. But, yeah, we got this training from the doctor. And he said that, you know, you always have to have two EpiPens because the reaction could come back after the first one. So that's why you call 911 first and then call the mother or, you know, in the situation I would just call 911 and then be at the ready with the second one, But, yeah, so we just, it's actually taught me a lot about healthy cooking. And,
really?
Yeah, and I feel like Logan has been such a gift to our family because, you know, he had really severe eczema. And then, you know, he was diagnosed with food allergies.
What's eczema? I don't know what that is. I'm sorry.
Eczema is, it's a condition where
like
you have
skin,
really itchy skin.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and so more prone to infection, more sensitive to things like detergents and chemicals and stuff like that.
Okay.
So because of Logan, I got rid of all the chemicals in our house. I wash our laundry with like a pure laundry soap. It's just soap flakes, baking soda, a little bit of washing soda. So he's really purified our environment, you know, so we're all going to be less likely at least to die of cancer because of Logan. And, you know, and on top of that, I've learned how to make all of these allergen free recipes, for him.
Like what kind of other food allergies does he have?
So he is allergic to, as I created a little chant for him so he could remember himself and sort of be his own advocate. So we say no eggs, no nuts, no dairy, no soy. And also on top of that, he's intolerant to sweet potatoes. They make him vomit profusely.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's something to do with his digestive system. But I will make pizza without dairy on it, and you would be surprised at how many products have soy in them.
Yes.
I get angry at Trader Joe's sometimes. I'm just like, "Ugh, soy."
We were talking before we started the show about this diet that I'm on, and one of the things is like, even though I can have caffeine now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm supposed to really restrict the sugar, but I can have like a dark chocolate or something like that. But the soy lecithin or lecithin or something like that, they tell me I need to stay away from soy. Now, for me, it's not the urgency with your son, right? Mm-hmm. It's just something I'm trying to avoid, but I want to stay committed to it. Like, that's what I'm trying to do. But when you start looking at the labels, you realize how prevalent it is. And if for someone who is prone to diabetes, and my understanding is any kind of autoimmune disease, soy is horrible for you.
Yeah,
it's very inflammatory and no bueno, but it's in everything. Even Italian food dressing, there's a ton of soy in that.
Well, the trick of it is just to eat a whole food diet.
Yeah.
You know, if you're getting all of your vegetables and everything, just shop on the outside of the outside aisles of the supermarket.
Ah, good point. Yeah.
You know, if you go in the middle, that's when you're going to get all the processed foods. So, you know, we just try to, we always go to the produce section first. We get all of our produce. I make these awesome nuggets that are, it's grass-fed beef. And I throw an onion, a head of broccoli or spinach, a piece of garlic, some olive oil. I throw all of that in the food processor and then I mix it in with the grass-fed beef. And then I roll it in cooked quinoa and fry it. And it's like nuggets that they, you know, that's like toddler food, but it's really healthy. It's really good for you if you are a meat eater, which, you know.
It sounds like a toddler falafel is what I would imagine.
Yeah, it kind of tastes like meatloaf. They put ketchup on it. It's really good.
That's awesome.
But yeah, you just get creative. And so thanks to Logan, all of us are eating less processed foods, more whole foods. We don't have any chemicals in our house. And, you know, we've been able to, I don't know. I just feel really grateful for him and for everything. And, you know, we have to go to Children's Hospital a lot for him for treatment. he has like a team of doctors, and you go there and you realize, you know, we were talking earlier about sort of first world problems, and mm-hmm. I feel so fortunate when I go there because I see kids who really have it rough, you know, who've got brain tumors and are battling cancer. And I try so hard to just look at the moms and give them the biggest smile I can, because I have no idea the level of suffering that they must be experiencing, you know? And then I look at my son who has itchy skin and allergies, which sucks, you know, it's not fun, but I'm like, oh, I'm so grateful.
It's so funny. Perspective is something that's come up on this show for a long time. Back when I was doing the show with my other former co-host, Bill Glass, he was talking about some stuff, and we had a listener. He was saying that my kids both have fevers and they were cold, and he goes, it's the worst, you know. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, you know, your kid could be a drug addict and blah, 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 and tried to throw a bunch of perspective at him. Mm-hmm. And it's, to me, what I didn't know this of him at the time, but their first son passed away only after 2 days. And so he went off. He was like, you don't fucking get to talk to me about perspective. Like, yeah. I have perspective, but... So, and then it kind of comes down to this thing where it's like, from the outside looking in, like me, I'll use myself as this example. When I hear, you know, your kid has a ton of allergies, I mean, I'm not sitting there going, oh my God, that sounds like the worst, but it is a thing where it's like, wow, what a challenge that must be. But when you're living it like you are, mm-hmm. what you see is the next step down the line. Right. Does that make sense? And that, so yeah. everybody has this differing perspective on what they're kind of going through. And I've seen that he's the coolest kid. Like, I mean, I haven't sat down and like had a ton of conversations with him, I'll be honest, but he's just fun and happy-go-lucky and just a sweet, adorable kid. And I think it's the same thing. What I'm trying to get at with you saying that it's, you're lucky, you're fortunate in that the presumption is that, you know, oh, he's so sad because he's never going to get to have a happy meal or any, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? That's stupid bullshit.
Yeah.
But in actuality, bullshit. Yeah, he doesn't care. He's fine. He's just hanging out, having fun, playing with some dinosaurs.
Yeah. And the thing is, I really dislike it when people say, oh, poor little guy in front of him. That really bothers me.
It should.
He's not a poor little guy. He is very fortunate. He eats like a king.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't eat that crappy happy meal stuff.
Right.
You know, and I, you know, two things that bother me that people say in front of him. One is, poor little guy. The other is, oh, geez, what happened to your skin? Or look at me like, what happened? What's wrong with his face? And I'm like, you know,
are you fucking
he's a human
kidding me?
Being. Yeah. People have said this to me. And I'm like, he's a human being who has struggles just like the rest of us. And he also has a beautiful soul. And I've seen grown people just sort of melt in his arms when he hugs them, because he's got such warm, sincere
hugs. Swear, he has a charisma to him that is just incredibly endearing.
It's an openness and a sincerity like that is unparalleled in my eyes.
I have absolutely seen that, mm-hmm. and I'm not even his mother.
Yeah.
So I'm not, you know what I mean? You're drunk on his love, let's be honest.
For sure.
I'm not.
But I celebrate him, you know, instead of seeing.
But see, that's the thing, is that it is funny, and here's the thing. I can't understand what's wrong with his face.
Yeah.
That's fucking mind blowing to me.
I was like, I can imagine how that person is still alive. Oh, what's wrong with your soul that you would say something like that to a child?
Yes. Mm. And here's the thing. I feel like I would give a little bit of like, oh, what's happening? And then go, oh my God, I'm so like, that just fell out of my face. That was wildly inappropriate. I'm terribly sorry. You know what I mean?
The intention is well, I think they have good intentions. You know, they care about children and don't want to see them suffering, but we're all human and we're all suffering.
But that's the thing, is that when you see him, you don't see suffering at all.
Like,
there is zero suffering.
I know.
I've seen the kid with like a red runny nose, and you know what I mean, where you would imagine he's going to cold. He's not suffering.
Nope.
He's totally fine.
He is never defeated by it.
Yes.
I was defeated by it at first, and he taught me how to buck up and, you know, really.
Oh, good point by you. Yeah. All right, let's take another break, and we'll come back and do a little moment of the week.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Dad Gear. All your child traveling needs packed into stylish, practical perfection. Designed by real dads for real dads and moms. Don't be the guy with a diaper purse. Be the man with a Dad Gear diaper backpack. Go to dadgear.com and use promo code DADPODCAST at checkout for 20% savings. Made in the USA.
All right, Miss Jamie, you can go first if you would like, or if you'd prefer I can go first. It's up to you.
Oh, I'll I'll go first.
Go for it.
Well, we were just talking about my son,
mm-hmm.
and he always says the most knock you on your ass profound things. It's like he is, I don't know, clairvoyant.
He's five.
And he, one time after, I'm going to say two things real quick.
Go for it, yeah.
One time after my divorce, I was still picking up the pieces. And he said to me on the way to school, Mommy, you're whole again. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, because at one time you got broken and you couldn't find all the pieces. Yeah. I was like, say, I almost crashed the car. I was like, what? Yeah. And then, but he says stuff like this all the time, stuff that just knocks me on my butt. And one thing he said, I think it was last week, sometimes he has me do this character called Willy the Witch, which is, and he just gets to teach me things, you know, because I'll be like, what are you eating, little boy? Is that lizard brains in your bowl? And he's like, no, it's cereal. And, you know, he gets to teach me. So as Willy the Witch, I was like, he said, we're friends, Willy. And I was like, what is a friend? And he said, friends are when you share the same power in your heart with someone else.
What the fuck?
I know. Again, almost crashed the car. I was like, wow.
Is he reading like Chicken Soup for the Soul
Seriously,
when you're not paying attention?
He's like he's a Buddhist philosopher, that child.
Is he only watching Oprah videos on
Maybe.
YouTube?
I'm a big Super Soul fan, so possibly that could be where it comes from. But
that's it. Say it again.
He said, friendship is when you share the same power in your hearts with someone else.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even think I understand that, to be quite honest, but
I know. I think he's got a magical gift. I mean, this is why people melt when they hug him. I think he's just got something special, and he just blows my mind all
That's
the time.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Those are great.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to share a moment of the week that, and I'm glad this worked out this way because you brought it up to me. But it actually is something that exists between my younger son and your older daughter.
Oh, yes.
Is that there's a kindling romance, if you would.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is it the same when you are a mother and your daughter shows an interest in a boy as I've heard it is for a father? Do you get the same like protective instinct, or is it like, whoa, or any of that stuff? Or is it just kind of like, oh, that's adorable?
No, yeah, I encourage...
I mean, they're very young, so it's very
different.
Right, it's very
different.
Innocent.
Maybe when she's a teenager, I'll be a little more protective. But right now, I'm just encouraging her to love openly,
mm-hmm.
you know? And as I was just watching this movie with Annette Bening, and she said, having your heart broken is a tremendous way to learn about the world. And so I'm like, yeah, love, like, this is really the only opportunity she's going to have to love completely openly, you know, before the world sort of gets at her.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, that's great. I encourage her love for your son, which is so sweet.
Here's the funny part about it for me, too. I'll kind of go back through the whole chronology of it, is that there was one time Jack was taking a shower and Natalie was in the bathroom and he said, Mom, Zoe flips me off. And she goes, what now? He goes, Zoe flips me off. And she goes, what do you mean she flips you off?
That's how we show love in our family.
Exactly. Which, by the way, like, because I knew you and your ex, I was like, I go, like, even if it was the case, I knew that there was at least something funny about it. Like, that's what I process it to be.
Yeah.
Or that there's no, my first thought was when Natalie was telling me the story that I'm like, clearly my son does not know what flipping somebody off is, right?
Mm.
So she's like, well, that doesn't sound right. Like, was she mad at you? He goes, no. One day she just looked at me and she flips me off. Jack is very dramatic. Like, Jack likes to act like he's 38, but he doesn't say the profound things.
So
like,
does Zoe. She's already.
Oh, they're perfect for each other.
Yes,
then.
Yeah.
So he does. But the other day, by the way, they're doing BTEEK at the school.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll save this for my moment for Jacob. So anyway. So we come to find out, Natalie starts to, you know, kind of investigate a little further and thinks that, well, maybe he thinks, because I remember seeing some kind of a show or movie we watched and somebody flipped somebody off and they were like, what does that mean? And I go, oh, it's like telling somebody, go fuck yourself or fuck you, like with your middle finger. They go, oh. And I go, don't ever do that. I said, you don't do that. I go,
totally,
if you do it at school, your ass is grass.
Yeah.
My rule with them is that they can't say bad words until they pay bills or taxes, because until then they have no reason to be angry.
You remember, I punched a hole in that. Because I was like, if they buy candy at the candy store, they're going to be like, suck on that, Dad.
Yeah, that's right.
It's fucking paid taxes. Boom.
Oh, cocksucker bitch tits. So anyway, so we've come to figure out that she was doing the I love you, like, sign language thing,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And but then there was my favorite part is Natalie didn't just assume that that's what she meant because she goes, well, did she was doing with the thumb out or was it thumb in? Because thumb in means rock on.
Right. Which out. Is also super cool.
Right. Right. Yeah. Thumb out means I love you. And then he said it was the I love you thing. But the other time we were having dinner and we asked, we do the usual like, how was your day at school? Blah, blah, blah. And Jack says, oh, Zoe asked me what I'm going to do for a job.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, and we go, what? She goes, yeah, she wanted to know what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I go, what did you tell her? He said, I want to be a football player. And she said, and he acts her out. And he goes, he says, she says, she looked at me. She goes, that's okay, because you'll make lots of money. So that's good for me.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so you didn't
know. Oh, my gosh. No, I thought you. Oh, my child.
Don't embarrass by that at all. That's hilarious.
No, you know what's funny is Jack is already feeling the pressure to provide for Zoe. I guess he told your wife, and your wife told me this, that he's like, you know, Zoe really wants a toy poodle or a toy puppy or toy dog. He's like, I have to get a job so I can buy her this dog. You know?
That's probably more my influence than anything.
Yeah.
I think he might. No, it's not. I think that's just how I'm wired naturally without thinking. I do a lot of joking with them and teasing them about the idea of the story that I have is they were fighting over whose side of the car they get in on. And I stop the fight and I go, who do you pay for this car?
Oh, yeah,
do you pay for this? And they're like, no. And I go, no, I pay for this car. So all sides belong to me. And I say, get in the side, whatever, get your asses in the seat faster. That's my rule. In the empire of the minivan where dad rules king.
Right.
Oh, and that reminded me, the other thing I went tangential, which happens to me all the time, is the comedian thing. I started calling the elf on the shelf the magical tattletale. This is my bit with the kids.
Oh, yeah.
Is that where I think I'm going to absolutely eat my words. You've punched another hole in my theory here on this one is that because the other thing I had when they got Easter baskets from the Easter Bunny, they came in and I said, where was this stuff? And they said, right in front of my door. I said, go get mine. And Jacob looked at me. He looks at the door. He looks back at me. And he was like, I think 4 at the time, mm-hmm. maybe 5. And he goes, there isn't one. And I was like, what?
Oh.
He goes, there isn't one for you. I said, I'm going to kick that Easter Bunny's ass. They said, no, we love the Easter Bunny. I go, he didn't give me shit. What the hell?
Yeah, on the Elf on the Shelf front, I did a video with Cackle Pops, actually, where we played elves in the break room.
Uh-huh.
And I showed it to the kids, and I said, see, I was an elf. I was an elf at the workshop. So if you do anything wrong, I have a direct line to Santa, and I will tell him. I will tell on you. We don't need an elf on the shelf. I am the elf.
Yeah. This elf, and this elf is mobile. That's great. So the other one that I had, it's also Jack related, is they do the boutique at the school. So they have this little convenience store offered by donated items and some the PTA purchase, and they get to go through with some money and then they get to buy things for their family and friends. It's just a way of like playing adults and getting to buy stuff and giving gifts away, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Jacob, being who he is with his very kind heart, he went and got something for his brother and he put it in his stocking. Their stockings are hung on their door because we don't have a fireplace, obviously. So he put it in his stocking and he's very excited. But because he's still a kid, he doesn't want to wait till Christmas. So
he
comes up with this elaborate story saying that Jelly Bean, which is the elf on the shelf, might have put a gift in our stocking. We should check when we get home, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, the way it worked out is that we had to immediately jet from dropping Jack off at home and going to piano lessons for Jacob. And so anyway, there was no time. We come back and Jack is sitting on the bed back here. Natalie works out of the office here in the back and Jack will hang out with her and watch TV. Jacob goes, did you check your stocking? And it was kind of embarrassing for me because I think he was kind of doing a dad type act out where he's like, he's got literally the remote in his hand and he goes, I know what you did, Jacob. That doesn't break eye contact with the TV. And he goes, oh, what was it? And Natalie, playing the mom role, goes, your brother's excited. Go see And he goes, all right. And but he's only 5 or 6, but he's acting like he's got like stiffness getting out of the bed. All right, fine. And he walks in there.
I had too much whiskey last night.
Exactly. I've really got to think a lot about who I am as a father. I think I've really got to rethink what I'm doing here.
No, we have to be flawed in front of them. I fully believe it. I'm like, dang it, I fucked up. So yeah, just don't do that. I'm real sorry. I'm teaching them how to apologize a lot.
That's good. That's a good model. That's a good. Oh, all right. Well, that's our show. You can send me an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. All of the social media handles for this show are in the description of this episode, as well as links to Jamie's. Again, the geniuses. There's at least three episodes that I saw. Oh, but that's another one. Episode two, the key frame is evidently the other girl had been the first to pass out.
Yes.
And instead of a dick being drawn on the head, there's a vagina being drawn on the head.
Yes, and there's actually a faux behind-the-scenes video connected to that one where we pretend that we hired a vagina artist to draw that vagina on her head.
Like the making of?
Yes,
like,
yeah. Yes. So, yeah, check that out, too.
So, YouTube.com/ladybits. Again, the link is in the description of this. And if you want something that is not intended to be humorous or inappropriate, but very delightful and fun for you to do with your kids or just for your kids to enjoy, Nadja's Corner has stories that are written by our very own Miss Jamie here. And I think that's it. Oh, do you have like a Twitter, Facebook, anything else you want to give out?
Oh, yeah. You can follow me on Instagram. It's Freckles in Dreams. And it's just an N between the words Freckles in Dreams. So Freckles in Dreams.
All right. I will put that as well in the description of this episode. On behalf of my good friend Jamie, this is Justin Worship saying, hug your kids, hump your loved one, and stay frosty, my friend.